property.
Yeah, one of our, and I won't say just farms, I'm saying any weapon. There could be an edge weapon laying there where the guy's been sliced up with a knife or a razor cutter or something. And, you know, all these scenes when we first arrive are very chaotic.
Okay. Can I add, besides that, hypodermic needle?
Oh, absolutely. Anything that can be considered a weapon.
Well,
but if it's dead, he's not going
to... He's not.
The problem is, there may be multiple people. I've went to scenes before where there's a body, and there's 9 or 10 people in that room crowded around. And we've got a gun or a sharp knife or a needle or anything that can be construed as a weapon. We need to be able to secure the weapon and get the people secured into another area outside or whatever for officer safety, and to clear that immediate area so that a paramedic can come in and look for signs of life.
And also to make sure that you don't get the crime scene and contaminated with people.
That's correct.
Mucking around.
Exactly.
Dr. Varner, let me ask you, how do you feel... You know, Johnny's expressed this. What do you feel would be the best way to handle this kind of situation from your perspective?
The one thing that I saw with some of the pictures of the crime scene that we had in our course is that, like, exactly where the gun is in relationship to the body is something that kind of helps me to kind of decide does this look like it's suicide, or did somebody just drop the gun close by?
And what we do, now let me explain to you our procedure on that. If we went in and there's a body laying here and there's a gun laying there, okay, the first thing we're going to do is obviously secure the gun. But we have little placards. That might be item number one. We would put that item right there.
But it still doesn't show which way the gun was.
Well, here's the problem. How do we, it's going to show where the gun was, it's not going to show which way it was lying, but here's the big problem. If you've got multiple people in that scene, how do we know that the gun wasn't kicked or bumped or moved there to begin with, and that's not the original position? There's no way for us to ever make 100% determination on that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had instances before where I've went in and the body's laying here, and a family member picked the gun up and run over and put it in that coat pocket or put it in that desk drawer to get it out of the way. I have no idea which way that gun was lying. All I can do is document that they said it was right here and they put it there. And unfortunately, right, that's what we all have to go by. Mm-hmm. So it's not as critical to know the direction the gun was pointing or how it was lying as it is to secure that gun so that we don't have another accidental shooting or some half-crazy person doesn't pick it up and turn it on you or me or an EMT or someone.
Out of the scene.
Well,
anyhow.
But the problem is, by the time we get the call, it may be 10 minutes before a deputy's on scene. And people can do a lot of silly things or a lot of intentional things at a crime scene to try to cover. I mean, I've had people trying to mop blood up off the floor when I got there, which is definitely going to hinder your ability to make a determination and our ability to make a determination, but they've done it. Mm-hmm. So we can't unring that bell. We have to just document that, you know, grandma was down there with a bucket of water and a brush scrubbing up blood when we got there. Now, we can make her stop at that point in time and remove her, but who's to say how big that area of blood was originally? There's no way for us to determine that. And if we're not allowed to go in and secure these things, I don't know where we're going to end up. We're going to end up with a bloodless scene, which really hinders your and my ability to come up with the right conclusions.
Well, let's figure out how we can work out a weapon at the scene. What do you want them to do with when they arrive on the scene when there's a weapon or a hypodermic or... I'm mostly concerned about firearms,
because
that's the main thing someone could pick up, like Lauterbach could pick up and use, because he's still on the scene. How do you think that would be the best thing to be... I asked you that before, and you were trying to tell me about the crime scene that you had at the training.
Right. The fact that it needs to be... I mean, how soon do you get your person there with the taking photos?
As quick as we can get them there, obviously.
But you already have the gun removed.
And a lot of times the deputy on scene will grab a camera and snap some pictures immediately if the situation allows. The big issue, again, if we go in and there's all kinds of small children and mom and grandma and three neighbors have come over and everybody's in a panic, the first thing we're going to do is secure that gun, because you can't keep your eye on 9 different people at one time, and you turn your back to deal with this one and that one grabs the gun, we have a problem, you know. So we have to act with safety being the first and foremost thing. You know, I think you'd agree with that.
Correct.
So we would then, at that point, immediately the deputy would secure that weapon, render it safe, and then get people out of the home, check those people for other weapons, get them in either in another area of the home, get them outside the home, whatever the situation dictates, and then make a note, the gun was right here, here's a thing I'm going to put here. When the crime scene gets there, I'll let them know, and when Dr. Varno gets there, we'll let her and her people know the gun was here, but for safety reasons, we secured it. We may have a wet footprint on the floor that they say the guy that he tracked in all this mud and he ran out the back door after he shot him. Well, you got a wet footprint that's drying. You know, you got heat in the home, it's drying out quickly. We may need to quickly act to preserve that evidence, because evidence a lot of times is perishable. We have to act on that. Now, I understand according to the letter of the law, we can't disturb anything there near that body. And we're not trying to encroach upon your authority, or we're not trying to say we want to go ahead and roll the body and look at the weapon and look at the wound. And it's not about that. It's about us being able to do our job and do it to the 100% to the best of our ability, and not be hampered by the idea that we can't do that without a permissive order from you to go ahead and step into your death scene area and do this. And again, everything that I read, your death scene area is completely up to your discretion. We may go in and decide, well, the body's here, that's the death scene. When you get there, you may say, that whole room's a death scene, or this whole building's a death scene. And at that point in time, anything we've done, even in another room, we could have been encroaching upon your authority, and we could be criminally culpable for disturbing your death scene. And I don't want my deputies out there with that in the back of their mind, because they need to put 100% of their thought and concentration into doing the right things at these scenes.
But I was a little bit disturbed when you said, as soon as I get there, everybody disappears.
Well, that's what we were going to do if we can't go in and do our scene, because we have no purpose to be there at that point. And from my understanding and reading the law and reading the Attorney General's opinion, it is not considered a homicide until you rule. It is not considered a suicide until you rule. And then the parameters
that
I saw,
you all are going to have a pretty good idea.
We have an idea, but it's not official until
right,
you rule.
Right.
And according to what I read in the law, if you then request further assistance from an investigative standpoint, you have to present your copy of everything to the prosecutor, who then would notify the agency within jurisdiction there from law enforcement to further the investigation. And that puts anywhere from 20.
Where is that in the law?
It's in the Attorney General's opinion on the law.
There is an Attorney General's opinion.
Yeah.
I saw, but it says that more or less you control whether there should be a further investigation or not. Because you're going to be saying, hey, this is a homicide, it requires further investigation. Although, really, in practical terms, the investigation should be simultaneous.
Exactly.
Right, right.
It should be immediate. We should start our investigation parallel with your investigation.
But again, I'm only determining the cause and manner of death, and I think there needs to be further investigation. But that has, in the long run, nothing to further do with me, because I have just decided that there is a homicide and they died by a gunshot, so you need to take over.
Well, and here's
the
thing, though. And I think, to be honest with you, Dr. Varno, I think a lot of these laws were written at a time when forensic testing and things wasn't like it is nowadays. I think a lot of these laws were written before DNA, before fingerprints and footprints and analysis and things were at the standard they are today. So I think at that point in time, it wasn't that critical. And the remedy that I saw, if you went to a scene and we say, there's your scene, we leave, and you determine it's a homicide, according to what the Attorney General said, you must complete your case investigation, present a copy to the prosecutor stating that you feel it needs more criminal investigation or more investigation into the death. And then she would contact the agency with jurisdiction. If it's out in the county, that would be us. And then we would pick up the investigation from there.
Can you show me then where that...
Yes. If you still have your copy of it?
Do I have a copy of it?
If I could access your computer, I can print a copy off my email, because that's how I got it.
Let me see.
Okay. But, you know, it's a situation where, you know, again, I want to do what's right with you, but I can't hamper my deputies. I've got a couple of detectives that came to me and said, my God, if I go on that scene and I try to save that piece of evidence, I could be criminally charged.
Well.
And I don't want them going in there with the idea that they're afraid to do their job, because we've spent a ton of money and time on their training, and their experience counts for a lot. They've been on a lot of death scenes, and I don't want them going in there going, well, I'm not going to touch anything, because we may lose that evidence. Well, that's going to be very, very important for her to be able to prosecute.
And again, my biggest concern is I am just there for the dead body, per se.
Yes.
To say, how did they die?
And here's the
thing. Not who done it, right, or anything
else.
The
problem for us is we can't go back 3 days later and gather that evidence. It has to be done right then.
That's why I would say that you should proceed with your...
And I agree, but I can't do it with the idea that if we proceed, we may be in trouble for moving something. You know, got it, Jess.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, why didn't you tell me? I could have got down there and done it.
No,
for
I'm
you.
Sorry. I had my computer home. But the coroner has so much authority on a death scene.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like
the authority is just to make sure, again, the cause and manner of death.
Well, and I agree with that, but what I'm saying is, you have the authority to say who does or doesn't go on the crime scene or the death scene, who does or doesn't. You know, you can gather that up, but you can't gather this. And a lot of times, what we're waiting for you to get there, and that evidence is dissipating right in front of our eyes, and we're powerless to step in and do anything. And that really hampers our ability to process that scene. And again, our process should never interfere with that body to help you make your determination. If one of the deputies ever went in, other than trying to find signs of life or perform CPR on a victim, if our people ever went in and moved that body or did anything, you wouldn't have to worry about the trouble, because they would be in trouble with me. That's a definite no-no, period. But I think they've got to be empowered to secure a weapon, start looking at evidence, start doing the processing.
Absolutely.
Okay. That, and that's what the issue
Absolutely
was, because they were very concerned that if
how did they become very concerned just with my comments of the death scene?
Well, because if you read the authority that you have, you can come in and declare any part of that.
But that's
area.
The way it's been for years and
it
years.
It is. And we had this understanding with Dr. McKinley. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And they were concerned that now the rules are going to be completely changed.
Well,
and we're not going to be able to do these things. Now what do we do?
It's just, this AG's opinion, it's old. It's from like 86, but nothing has changed.
Nothing's changed since.
The law and the statute are the same, and it just spells out that the coroner has the, I mean, there must have been some issue somewhere with a sheriff and a coroner at one point, and the AG was asked to clear this up, and it spells out.
I think it was asked of Beulah County, if I remember
the
correctly.
The coroner is like runs the whole scene, and there's no question who's in charge at a death scene like that. And we just have to make sure that, you know.
Well, I just want to make sure
things are being done. If they're doing something, it's with your consent.
Right.
Prior consent,
right.
Is this okay for them to do this?
We would never ask permission from you, with you not being on the scene, to turn that body or look at a wound or move that. That's not what we want. But we want to be able to pick up other items of evidence, photograph them, document them, gather them, secure them, preserve them, up until the time you get there. And we're not wanting to cut you out of the loop. When you get there, the detective in charge will say, the gun was here, we found this muddy footprint here, and we'll give you a complete overview of everything. And then once they get done processing, and we get our pictures put on a disc, and we get our reports typed up and everything, you will get a complete case file from us of everything we did to help you make your proper determination. But the problem is, if we have to hesitate and wait until you get there, evidence is going to be lost that could hamper not necessarily as much your ability to make a determination as the cause and manner of death, but it could really hamper us in making a determination of what crime was committed and who committed it.
Right, and that's what you need to be really concerned about.
And that's what we are concerned
about.
Yeah. We have to be able to get on the scene and gather those pieces of evidence. It does no good for you to rule that this person was a homicide victim if we can't solve that crime and arrest the person that committed that crime. And, I think we're in agreement on that. That's
We just want to make sure that they have your consent to how to proceed, and they're doing it.
We want to do it according to what you think is the right thing to do also. It's not one-sided here at all. I want to protect you and your authority and your ideas on what should be done as much as, you know, we've got to understand each other's obligations here. And just as I understand, you have to have a complete overview of what happened so that you can determine the cause and manner of death. We have to have the ability to immediately start our investigation so that evidence isn't lost or disturbed or destroyed, you know. And that's where I think the rub is we're not sure exactly what you expect us to do or not to do in regards to that. And I don't want to, again, infringe upon your death scene without your permission and do something that could realistically get me or one of my deputies in hot water, so to speak.
The main thing I think you need to think about is the body scene.
Well, that's what we're looking at.
The body.
Yeah, and like I said, and I even put in this new protocol that I typed up, or this new policy, you know, under no circumstances will we ever move the body other than life-saving measures. You
in
know.
That, or like when I was talking to one of the other cops yesterday, he said they did move the body. They weren't sure, number one, if they were alive or dead, but because of an explosion possibility
and
with
the... We have, I give you an example, meth labs. You know, you have an explosion in a meth lab, and you get there, and the firemen have knocked the fire down, and you've got a body here, but you've got all these dangerous chemicals here.
Right, right.
I mean,
are extenuating circumstances.
Exactly, and I don't think you or Don Newman want to go on that scene and be exposed to that hazardous material because, you know, that puts your safety in jeopardy. Now, we're at the scene of this crime. We're responsible for safety there, but I don't want to have Deputy Bingaman suit up in his suit and do his training thing as far as gathering those up, and then when you get there, say, well, he's in my death scene without permission, because that was going to create a problem, you know. And those are the issues we want to get ironed out now.
Because I think that you're kind of blowing it out of proportion in that.
Well,
that was never my intent.
Well, okay, and I don't know what your intent was or anything. That's the way a lot of them took it. And, you know, I've got their...
So I don't know how,
are hard, you know.
Because again, the law gives you that authority to do that, and you know it's got to be, as long as you've got their consent, they can proceed this way.
Yeah.
And I think here it is.
Oh, you've got it. Okay,
I got it.
Okay, great.
I had to let it warm up. And
okay, no problem.
Let me print this out.
So is it in relation to, you know, which chapter and?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
It's
an old opinion, but it's still...
It's still the latest one.
It
And he says he concurs with his predecessor who made these same opinions, so...
Can I get a water? You need a water?
No,
anybody?
I'm fine.
I can get you one if you tell me where.
I'll get it.
Okay.
You don't want one either?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Dr. Von Al?
No, thank you.
Okay.
No.
I don't have any coffee.
That's okay.
I've had enough coffee today, thank you. But no, chapter 313 does give you a whole lot of authority, and I'm not questioning that, and that's the way it should be at a death, you know. But again, I think we have to, for lack of a better term, common sense has to come into play as far as how we proceed. I don't want to do something to step on your toes, but I don't want to do something to hamper our ability to solve the crime. And hopefully we can come up with some written guidelines that say this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. You know, and if you're willing to say, I'll give you a permissive order to preserve that evidence, gather that, do whatever, that's fine. And we're willing to put in the same order that under no circumstances will that body be disturbed or moved. And that protects you.
Unless a dire emergency.
Yeah. I want to cover all bases here. I think, you know...
Because it definitely needs to be moved if it's going to blow
up. Well, exactly. Yeah, or you know, but read that over and see.
Do you want a copy, Johnny? Another copy?
No. I'm pretty familiar with it.
This is in relationship to 309? Our system. 313.11. I don't know if they pulled it into here. Because this is one where they pulled in a lot of the opinions into it. 13.11.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with my computer?
This is...
It's on.
What did you quit on you?
Yeah, it's like...
Is it through the phone company?
I Yeah.
We're having issues with our phones at the office. I think we've only got one or two lines that are working now. Four of the lines went down. Of course, over the holidays, it's real hard to get anybody in to work on anything, so. The battery's not dead, is it?
Well, I keep getting that thing that says your battery needs to be replaced.
Oh.
And I keep ignoring it because I don't want to buy another battery.
That may be the problem, Jess.
But it should work now that you got it plugged in.
Yeah, you got it plugged in?
Yes.
Because I think that, like it says here, the coroner has the authority to decide within exercise of his discretion whether or not to permit law enforcement officials to photograph the body.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Or that says during autopsy.
During autopsy, right. But, I mean, the thing of it is, if, you know, we, again, I can only rely to you or relay to you what we did with Dr. McKinley. We would go to the scene. When we got there, as soon as it was practical to start our investigation, we started. We did not disturb the body in any way. When Dr. McKinley got there, one of us would take him and show him. We did this here, we did this here. We brought him up to speed on everything. Then when he made the determination it was time to examine the body, Deputy Bingaman would stand there with his camera, and as Doc rolled the body, we would get pictures. It was in this position. He rolled it here. He would take a shirt loose to look at a gunshot wound. We would photograph and do everything, and then we would assist the EMS in getting the body located upon doctor's order to remove it from the scene. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we always handled everything. And it worked out very, very well. We do not want to deal with the body itself. That's under your purview, and that's completely understandable. But again, you know, we do have a responsibility to investigate the crime. Any delay in our response to start that investigation has a great impact on our ability to properly solve that case, you know. And so hopefully we can work together on this and reach the agreement that we're not wanting to mess with the body, but we've got to be able to go onto that scene and gather evidence and photograph and do those types of things, you know.
Well, I think if you two can work out what should be done.
So what was your new?
The new policy is basically we're going to go and we're going to do the scene. I'll give you an example. Suspicious death. Deputies will respond and clear the building or the immediate area for other victims. Make the scene safe, secure weapons and any witnesses or suspects, and tape off the crime scene and start a crime scene log. Deputies will check the victim for signs of life. If EMS is present, we will have the medic or senior EMT also check, to, you know, because obviously mm-hmm. they're a little better trained than
right,
we are.
Right.
Other than this check, at no time will the body be disturbed or moved until the coroner gives the order to do so. If the victim is determined to be alive, deputies will assist EMS in getting the victim medical care. When EMS or the coroner advises the victim is deceased, the scene will be held by a deputy, and the usual procedure for a suspicious death will be followed. The crime scene and investigative units will handle all evidence, interviews, processing the scene, that type of thing. All evidence will be taken at the discretion of the Brown County Sheriff's Office and secured or tested as per Sheriff's Office policy. In other words, if a gun is seized, we would have that taken to the lab. We would check it for fingerprints. We would check it for DNA. We would check it for ballistics, whatever the necessary tests are.
Do you also put the bags on the hands then, too? For
we generally do at the coroner's request. A lot of times, Dr. McKinley has, I'll give you an example, a suspect's there. We will generally do the GSR testing and send it
is
with
the
body.
That's not immediate then?
Yes, not on the on the victim, on the suspect.
Right.
We will test the suspect immediate, okay? Mm-hmm. And we will send those to the coroner, to the autopsy, and they will actually check those with the results from what they get off of the victim.
Okay, so there's not an immediate feedback that you get from...
No.
Okay.
We will see, where am I at here? The coroner will be given information regarding any process done or item seized, such as a gun, knife, etc., upon their arrival. Copies of the report, photos, evidence logs, etc., that's basically the entire case file, of a scene involving a death will be given to the coroner as soon as possible. Obviously, we can't print out reports at the scene or whatever, but you should have those no later than the next morning. Okay. Upon the coroner's order to remove the body, photos and documentation of injuries will be completed. In other words, we're not going to open the shirt and take a picture of the stab wound. We're going to wait until you're there, and then you deal with the body, and we'll be taking our photos at that time.
That was the documentation of injuries. Because when I looked at the thing, it's kind of like in documentation of injuries, I thought, is somebody getting hurt at the scene that you have to
document? No. Injuries are the... And the reason being, okay, let's say that we have a pretty good idea that this guy has a gunshot wound. His entire shirt's covered with blood. Mm-hmm. And we've got a hole or two holes in the shirt. We still can't really document the injuries to his body until you open your shirt and we see the wounds.
Right.
Now we can say, you know, gunshot wound to the upper left chest and the lower right abdomen, et cetera, mm-hmm. and we can take photos to show what we documented.
Right.
And that's the way we would normally handle these scenes. You know, again, if the victim's alive, we're going to assist in getting him first aid, getting him to the hospital, that type of thing. And then we'll proceed to process our scene accordingly.
Right, and I would never come to the scene.
Right, you wouldn't be required to be there because the victim is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they die, it may turn into a murder if they die later, which we've had a couple of those happen. But we still need to process that scene on the idea we're at least dealing with some kind of a serious assault
mm-hmm.
that may escalate to a murder charge down the road, you know. Any notification of the family or next of kin, obviously that's your purview. If you need our assistance in that, if it's a cousin is the next of kin and they live in a neighboring county and you say, is there any way you could help me with this? We'll be glad to contact Claremont County SO and ask them to please go out and make this notification and have them contact you. You know, we're not, again, we want to assist you in any way we can, you know.
Because I know that my difficulty is trying to figure out who, because you only have to notify one
next of kin, right.
But it's kind of like, whom is
the next of kin? And I'll be honest with you. I mean, obviously, the next of kin would be the spouse or the surviving son or whatever. And here's another issue we run into. A lot of times, the next of kin, when we do get a hold of them, and Dr. McKinley has always said, you know, see if you can find them and let them know. You get there, and it's an elderly person who is by themselves. So you may end up having to send somebody to notify a cousin or a sister or somebody to at least give them somebody there with them. I mean, we've contacted their minister for them or a neighbor that they're close with or anything because you don't want to go in and drop that bombshell on that person and then drive off and leave them.
Right.
You know, we don't ever want to do that. As far as the media on any criminal case, we'll handle the media. That's not an issue. And I doubt that they're going to be too interested in a natural cause death to begin with that they would come and bother you. If they do and you want to give a statement that's simply in your purview.
I presume not to.
Here's the thing. If it's a criminal case, all you have to do is tell them it's a criminal case and the sheriff's office is investigating and they'll leave you alone and come to me. And at that point, I tell them it's under investigation and I can't make a comment, but we'll do a press release at the appropriate time, and that buys us some time to kind of get together and say this is what we've got, you know.
Going back to the death notification, I'm sure you know how to help people.
Oh, absolutely.
There's like training, and I really wouldn't ever want to have to do this, but, you know, the police, and I'm sure you have as a physician and even in coroner's training, that how you do, there are certain ways you got to notify a death.
Well,
like,
actually,
you don't just say, oh, they passed away. Yeah. It's all this floaty. And
on several occasions, we've actually had a deputy and Dr. McKinley go do it together.
I mean, that's
just so that
it's local.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I can remember a couple of times where I went, there was a young man that was killed, and I went and another officer went with me to Adams County to sit with his wife. And we actually, while we were there, she asked us to contact her parents, which we did, and they drove down, and we stayed there with her for 20 minutes or so till they got there. You know, it's never easy, as you know,
right.
But it's a necessary thing, and, you know, and I'm not saying we're as highly trained in doing that as you are, but we've got tons of experience in having to do this over the years. Anything we can do to assist you in that endeavor, we'd be happy to. You know, it's your purview, but we will be glad to assist if necessary. And if you say no, Don and I will take care of it, then that's fine too. That's fine with us.
Right.
But no, read that over, Doc. And if you've got any questions or anything that you feel is out of place there or that you can't live with, you know, but I feel this protects us, but it also gives you protection. And what I wanted to do was formalize it with an agreement, and we sign it.
It would be like, I haven't read that either, but it would be something like that would be a memorandum of understanding. Just,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what you want them to
right.
do.
And basically what it says is...
can be changed or updated at any time.
This agreement is to accept the Brown County Sheriff's Office policy regarding these deaths by the sheriff and the coroner's office. So in other words, we're on the same page. This is what we can do, what we can't do. And it specifically spells out that you agree that a permissive order is given, but that we cannot touch or move the body other than a good faith life-preserving effort. So that protects you. And if our deputies exceed their limitations, they will be held accountable. I don't have a problem with that. They know better, you know. But by the same token, I don't want them held accountable because they went in and picked up a weapon and made it safe for safety reasons, you know. So again, I think it's a little bit of a give and take here, but we've got to be on the same page.
Right.
You
know? Okay. Look, I'm sorry, I'm way behind because okay. I haven't read this
okay.
yet.
Let's, I mean, like even the first paragraph, though, the natural cause right. is not a coroner's case.
Well, it's not our... Here's the thing, we're not required to go to any natural death. And by that, right. what I'm saying is, you know, we get a lot of calls every year where they call and they say, hey, you know, grandma's living with us. She always got up about 8 o'clock. It's 9:30. She didn't get up. We went in. She's dead. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's really no reason for us to go there to investigate, if you will. I mean, obviously, she's 93 years old. She's on heart medication. Her doctor says he's been expecting at any time. I don't know that we have anything positive we can do at that scene. And what we would normally do is just contact the coroner, see what they want to do with the disposition of the body, because obviously that's under your authority to take charge of that, you know.
Yeah, that's not natural causes, though.
Pardon?
Not natural causes.
Yeah, that natural causes is not coroner's jurisdiction.
Well, what I'm saying is these are... They're
you don't need
to
them
us.
To go.
Yeah, we don't need us to go is right? what we're saying.
Yeah, and I don't really need to go to...
If there are family doctors right. willing to... Exactly. But right. in a lot of circumstances, we get called to respond to those deaths. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go in there and have deputies going in there when they're not needed to be there. I think that that's...
How about we could put something like natural cause under doctor's care, hospice, deputies will not respond... Unless requested by the coroner,
that would be
how
fine.
How about that?
That would be fine. I think if
you
she,
want to do that,
if Dr.
Okay,
Varno
it's
says
not a coroner case with
okay,
that
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think if Dr. Varno says you know there's something suspicious here, you might want to get some deputies up there. Obviously, we appreciate that heads up, and we want to go because again, we need to start. If it's going to be an investigation, we need to start it immediately, not 3 days later when the body's been buried, and then they go, well, we think there was something wrong there. It's a little late at that point in time, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, I can change that. That's
well,
not
just,
a problem.
I would say, just say, unless requested by the coroner, they're not going to come.
That's fine.
To a natural cause.
That's fine.
And then you're probably not either, but
right.
you know.
Right, right.
All right, accidental deaths. Any unnatural death due to accident means deputies will respond and check victims for signs of life. If EMS is present, have the medic or senior medic check also. Other than this check, at no time will a deceased body be disturbed or removed until the coroner gives an order. A victim is determined to be alive. Deputies will assist EMS and get a victim. When the EMS or coroner advises victim is deceased, scene will be held by deputy and the usual procedure for accident will be followed. Upon the coroner's order to remove the body, photos and documentations of injuries will be completed. Okay, so...
And by coroner, you also would... Dr. Patridge or...
Absolutely.
Don, right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Here's the situation. And we get a lot of these types of calls, especially in the summertime. We got a 72-year-old male that a tractor overturned on him. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know whether he's alive or dead, but we need to respond and render first aid if possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get there and it's a matter of getting people out there, getting a tractor off of him, getting a squad to load him, getting him to hospital. Other times you get there and the medic for the life squad says, hey, I'm getting no pulse or nothing, this guy's gone. At that point in time, we will hold that scene for you or your people, mm-hmm. and we will not disturb that body. But when you get there and decide you're going to look at the body and that, we will then document with photos and in writing what we're seeing in that for this accident, what we believe happened, mm-hmm. and we will get copies of all that case file to you to help you make your determination.
Correct.
Because it could be carelessness, it could be a machinery malfunction, there could be a lot of things. And unfortunately, if it's a machinery malfunction, there could be some kind of civil litigation down the road where we need, if we're going to be at that scene, we need to have some documentation of why we did what we did. You know, if the family says, well, John Deere screwed that up on that tractor and that's what caused his death, and we're suing John Deere, we could end up in court with no documentation of why what we did or why we were even mm-hmm. there. And that's not a position I want my deputies in.
Right.
And that's not a position you want to be in either, I'm sure. So.
All right. Suspicious death. Any unexplained death, i.e. suicide, homicide,
etc. You just read that one, right?
Suspicious death.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
Deputies will respond in clear building and or immediate area for other victims and make the scene safe, secure weapons, and any witnesses or suspects and tape off the crime scene and start a crime log scene. Deputies will also check victim for signs of life. If EMS is present, have the medic or senior EMT check also. Other than this check, at no time will the body be disturbed or moved until the coroner gives the order to do so. If victim is determined to be alive, deputy will assist EMS in getting victim medical care. When EMS or coroner advises victim is deceased, scene will be held by deputy and the usual procedure for suspicious death will be followed. And you, if you secure, I think in here when you say, just a suggestion, mm-hmm. when you secure a weapon, that would be a gun or a knife or a sharp instrument?
Well, it could be, but again, I mean, if you remember, what, about 3 years ago, a baseball bat and a hammer were used to kill a guy in Higginsport.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you sure don't want to stand there and talk to these guys while they're holding a hammer and a baseball bat. They just killed a guy. So you have to secure those weapons.
If they have the weapons.
If the weapon's at the scene, we need to secure it. You know, and we don't take it farther than what it needs to be. In other words, that coat rack could be a weapon.
All right.
But if the guy was shot, we're not interested in that coat rack. If he was beat with a blunt object and there's blunt force trauma to the head and there's blood all over that coat rack, we're probably going to assume at that point that that may be the weapon.
Okay.
And we need to secure that.
Then there should be, if you're going to allow them to secure the weapon, what we should do is put in here that the deputy has the responsibility to show where it was and
If you go on down.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The crime scene and investigative units will handle all evidence, interviews, and processing of scene. All evidence will be taken at the discretion of the Brown County Sheriff's Office and secured or tested as per Sheriff's Office
right.
policy.
And that eliminates her being involved in or taking responsibility for evidence. If it's mishandled, it's our fault, not the coroner's office's fault.
Okay. What if there's something that she wants you to collect, or she wants to collect?
I'm not going to have things that I am physically going to collect.
Dr. McKinley never
bottles.
Took, I don't
bottles
think.
Bottles of medicine,
right.
I think, go
And those
bottles.
Go with the body, and we don't
right.
have an issue with that, because
right.
we don't collect those anyway. Dr. McKinley always did. But as far as, I can never remember a case in all the years I worked mm-hmm. with Dr. McKinley where he ever said, I'm going to take that, or I'm going to take this. He would rely on our photographs, our documentation, and he would make his determination based on that.
Because I don't have a true office.
Sure.
I've got the
evidence
case
rooms,
where
evidence
I went
logs,
ahead
chain
and
of custody.
Put the current files, and I've got 7 boxes that I have to get over to the clerk's
right.
courts.
Right.
And
well, and chain of custody okay. is a terrible thing to
right.
have to be responsible for.
Right.
And if you're not equipped to gather the
I'm
evidence,
not.
Store the evidence. And again, that's why we take that responsibility. And I don't have a problem with us doing it. We've always done it. But I don't want it hanging over their head that if you take that as evidence, you could be doing something to violate the coroner's authority at the scene.
I'm just
that puts us
saying,
in a bad
what
spot.
What if she wants something else collected?
Well, I think
I'm just saying. If
it's pertinent to the death.
Carpet.
Sure. Well, and that may be, but the whole thing is, we probably would do that anyway. If there's a blood-soaked
okay.
carpet there, and there appears to be trace evidence, we're probably going to take a box cutter and cut that piece out and secure that. If you ask about that, we'll discuss it at the scene and determine if it's a situation where the detective in charge says, I don't think we need it, and you feel we do, then we'll try to get that worked out, you know. I don't want to eliminate any possibility of a
yeah.
piece of evidence getting lost.
Because
and again,
she might want something.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Sure.
As
but I think that mostly when I keep thinking of, I'm just trying to determine
cause of death and manner
and
of death.
And manner,
yes.
It's kind of like a lot of the evidence is not going to be that
no.
Okay.
It's not as critical
for
to
me
you exactly
determining
right.
how they are
right.
the cause.
If a guy
of
bled
it.
To death because of a gunshot wound through the aorta. It really, gathering the gun up is not going to help you make that
or the
determination.
Other bullets that are in the wall.
Exactly.
Like,
that's going to be that's going to help us investigate as to who shot him,
who done it,
and was it a murder?
Who,
was
what,
it a
how,
self
and where?
A self defense? That type of thing, you know.
Okay. All right. Coroner will be given information regarding any processed donor item seized, gun, knife upon their arrival. Copies of reports, photos, evidence log. Scene involving a death will be given to coroner as soon as possible. Upon the coroner's order, remove the body. Photos and documentation of injuries will be completed. Okay. And in here, is this where you're going to put the placard, show the little thing?
That's part of our policy, yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's part of what we do at a crime scene. I mean, I can't, it would take me a book that thick to write down every detailed thing we do at a crime scene. But we document, and if you've seen our crime scene photos, a lot of times we have a numbered placard right there by that piece of evidence and things. But a lot of times that placard's sitting there by itself because that evidence needed to be preserved, and we had to go ahead and gather it up. I'll give you an example. In Snow, and a lot of people don't know this, but part of our training in crime scene preservation, a footprint in the snow that is starting to melt, one of the easiest ways to preserve that, it won't do it permanently but temporarily, is to spray it heavily with hairspray. And that will stop that melting process and will firm that up where you can see the shoe treads and things. And then at that point, we can either photograph it or take a plaster cast or whatever we need to do. So 2 hours from now, when that footprint's completely melted away, we have documentation of, you know, that footprint, here's what it looked like. We can actually have a lab tech look at that at Columbus and say, that's an Air Jordan, or that's a Nike, or that's a Red Wing boot, or, you know. Mm-hmm. So it helps us then if we find a suspect and he's wearing the kind of shoes that made that footprint.
We can then, a little bit of blood on his
shoe. Yeah, we can take that shoe. We can have it tested for blood. We can check the sole print against the footprint that we took, size, cuts in the print that match cuts or indentations in the footprint that we casted. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do, but we have to have the latitude to be able to rush and do it.
Can there be a attempt to try to get pictures before, like removing the weapons?
Oh, yeah. And again, like I said, it's a situation. Every scene's different. I'll give you an example. Let's say we go in and we've got a potential suicide, okay? And the guy's laying there. We don't know if he's lifeless or whether he still has life, and there's nobody else home. The deputy can go in and mark real quick or snap a couple quick pictures while the EMS people are coming in, and then render the gun safe and let the medic check the body. Now that works if that person's there by themselves or there's only one or two people and we've got them outside. But if he goes in and there's a house full of kids and it's cold outside and mom's running around in a panic and trying to get boots and coats for the kids and this and that, we've got a very chaotic scene. And we can't turn our attention to something else and leave that weapon lying there. So the deputy would have to immediately get that gun, render it safe. Now they can put the placard down there and they can show you and show us this is where the gun was and I have it here in the bag and I put a glove on and touched it so I didn't mess up fingerprints and do all those things. Every situation is going to be different. You know, in my career, I can't think of ever going on two scenes that were identical. It's always something different, you know. So you have to kind of be able to play it by ear. You know, unfortunately, that's, you know, but we've got to have some general guidelines that say you can do this or you can't do that, you know.
I think it is important to have that if they can take
a photograph.
Yes. I love photographs myself.
I agree.
Those are so wonderful to me, you know.
As you know, I mean, you've seen our crime scene, 150, 200 photos of the crime scene.
They're all useful to me.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
I think that would be a good thing for them to make sure they know when they go on.
If it's possible, we try to do that.
You know, take a picture of it in situ. What's the Latin word? In place. My Latin is bad.
And I agree with that. And we try. And again, it may be dictated by the number of people that arrive at the scene at the same time. If it's one deputy and the nearest backup officer's still 4 miles away. Mm-hmm. He's still got an obligation to go in and try to render life-saving assistance or secure the scene for and find if there's other victims or whatever. Now, if he pulls up and there's another deputy pulls in at the same time and two Mount Auburn Georgetown officers are there and we've got plenty of help, we may be able to leave that gun there and post an officer right there with that gun. But if we've got one officer, he may need to secure that gun because we've got other rooms that may have a suspect who's armed. We may have another victim that needs medical attention. So we've got a whole lot on our plate at that time. And the number of personnel on scene dictates what we do next.
That's why I said where possible.
Where possible,
safety
absolutely.
Safety first and
absolutely.
Then preservation second.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're taught in the academy. Safety comes first and preservation is next.
All right. Saying we're victims determined alive. Okay, that's all notifications to family or next of kin regarding a death will be handled by the coroner's office. Injury notifications will be handled in the same as usual. If this is a criminal case, all contacts with media will be handled by the sheriff or designee. Okay, well.
And maybe could I ask that the notifications and next of kin in coordination with the sheriff's
office? Absolutely.
Yeah. because I just know too, hey, I've got to get back over to the office, and they live up in Fayetteville.
Exactly correct.
And so,
and a lot of times we have a deputy in Fayetteville that wasn't at the death scene in Higginsport, but we can simply call him on his cell phone and say, hey, we need you to make a notification. Right. Here's what happened, you know?
Right.
And handle it within a matter of minutes, where it might take you an hour to drive up there and
right.
do this.
An hour,
you know?
To drive back.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're glad to help you, Doc, in any way we can. We really are.
Okay.
And I call you Doc. I'm used to calling Dr. McKinley
that's
Doc.
Fine. That's
okay,
fine.
Well, I don't want to insult you. I'm not doing that. It's just a...
All notifications of family or next of kin regarding a death will be handled by the coroner's office, comma, in coordination with the sheriff's office.
That's fine.
Office.
Absolutely fine.
Okay. And then what else? Anything else that we need to add or delete, change? Let's take a look at that so we can make those revisions. This agreement, and then this should be called a memorandum of understanding.
Right, I just wrote it up briefly just to get the idea across, and I can change. I've got it saved on the computer. That's not an issue to try to change it.
Let me read this. Memorandum of understanding. Okay, this agreement is to accept the Brown County Sheriff's Office policy as a policy protocol for all reported death in the mutual jurisdiction of the sheriff and coroner of Brown County is to, this agreement recognizes the responsibility of both the coroner and law enforcement in scenes involving a death. Due to the overlap in authority and responsibility, both agents must have guidelines to follow. In any scene involving death, safety is paramount. In addition, time is critical in processing as evidence is perishable and a scene can become compromised. Therefore, law enforcement must have a permissive order from the coroner to perform their duties and meet their responsibilities when on a scene. By signing this agreement, both the coroner and sheriff agree that this permissive order is given for these death scenes, and the sheriff's investigation can proceed immediately with the understanding the body cannot be moved or disturbed other than a good faith attempt to render life-saving assistance. Both the coroner and sheriff agree that no police officer, deputy, sheriff, fireman, EMT, or member of any human emergency response team will be held accountable by criminal means or otherwise in the performance of their duties.
Which would include, you know, taking the body to, you know, clearing safety and all the other.
Absolutely. Well, and the reason I wanted that in there, a lot of times a call out in the county, obviously the deputy is in charge of that crime scene, so to speak. However, we may get backup assistance from a village or the highway patrol. We have EMS and FAR members showing up. And by the same token, you know, they need to be aware of what they can and can't do. And most of them work very well. They're aware, you know. But I don't want one of them coming in there and stumbling over something and getting themselves in trouble. And again, I think this protects your authority because it says under no circumstances the understanding is the body cannot be moved or disturbed. And again, that's never what we want to do. I wouldn't know how to perform an autopsy. I don't really know how. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, I'm not medically trained, and I don't want to be the one to have to make those determinations. You know, that's in your purview, and I respect that, and I want to provide you all assistance that we can give you so that you can make those determinations. But again, in return, I have to be able, and I say I, but my office has to be able to have personnel go ahead and start the investigation from our perspective to try to solve these crimes. And it is extremely important. You know, they always tell you the first 48 hours in a homicide's critical. Nothing could be truer than that. Things leave after 48 hours as far as not only evidence, but witnesses and people get their heads together and change their stories. And it's very critical. Absolutely. It's very critical that we start immediately and make a real big push within the first few hours as to what we have and what it's going to be ruled and what we're going to do about it as far as suspects and witnesses and so on and so forth. And if we're hampered, every minute's precious to us, you know.
Right. I added at the end, this agreement may be modified by agreement of the parties because there may be things that as it goes along you're going to want to change. And by agreement of parties or terminated by any party with 48 hours written notification.
That's fine.
That way, it's not working, you know.
Well, I think this, I don't foresee any problems here. This is the way we did it with Dr. McKinley, and he's been the coroner for, 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And we've never had the first issue. Never. And I don't foresee any issues with Dr. Varnow. Whether, you know, I don't know how long she'll be coroner. She may be the coroner for the next 20 years. And I don't foresee
I
any.
I don't think.
You know, so I don't see any issues there. But I want to make sure we're on the same page here. I think the time to get this resolved is before we end up on a big death scene and everybody's going a different direction, because mm-hmm. that hampers her, it hampers us, and more importantly, it deprives a potential victim and their family of justice or the right rulings, you know. Okay. So
that was just my advice.
I can change that in about 5 minutes at the office.
To add this, you know, modified by agreement or terminated by either party, yep. and then, you know, work, start over from scratch. But because obviously you're going to need to work things, see how everything goes, and you may develop, hey, this would be a better procedure. This is something else
sure,
that might make
absolutely.
It more workable. It gives us something to start with.
And we're always open
just
for suggestion. Or if there's something that you don't understand why we did that, sit down. We'll be glad to explain mm-hmm. in our course, this is what we have to do. We don't want it to impact on you,
right.
but we have to do this from our standpoint. Is there something that we could do maybe a little different to still acceptable for gathering evidence, but would help you? You know, we're willing
right.
to work
right.
with you on that. That's not an issue. Never.
Because I know
been.
Like when we've got codes and when we've got emergencies, we oftentimes will do an after action kind of hey.
Sure.
What did we do good? What did yes. we not do good here?
We had, and God forbid we have another one of those ever, but we had a officer-involved shooting a few years ago where an officer actually, he saved a couple of their deputies, but he shot and killed the suspect, who was heavily armed with an assault rifle. We all went to everybody that was involved in that scene went to a counseling session. And it was extremely helpful, not only for the guy that pulled the trigger, but for the other people that were there. You know, that's a very, very stressful event,
mm-hmm.
and we still had to suck it up and be professional and process the scene and do our interviews of the family members that were present and the other officers, and it makes it very, very tough, you know, but you still have to do it, but it still weighs heavily on your mind. And as we sit and discuss that, things come to light that, you know, if that situation ever comes up, maybe we could do this a little different, or this would be handled better. And we actually learned an awful lot from that. So I agree with what you're saying there. Sometimes an after-incident briefing is very good, not only from a standpoint of relieving that stress and learning to deal with or cope with what happened, but from an educational standpoint of how better to handle that situation if it arises again.
Correct.
You know?
Why don't you make those changes?
I will
or
make those.
If you've got anything else that you want
to
add?
I think that primarily, the only other thing is it's well understood that, you know, try to preserve.
Oh, absolutely.
By photographing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised when you get your first file from us, the number of photographs in that file.
I know that there
Deputy
are several
Bingham.
That have, because I got all of the
okay.
boxes.
Right.
I didn't look at the slide,
right.
the CDs or anything, but. You know, everything pretty big.
Yeah, Deputy Bingham usually, sometimes he takes enough pictures that you can't put it all on one CD. You have to go to two CDs. So
yeah, one had four CDs, I think.
Yeah, well, and that may be.
But I don't know if that was because.
Well, he photographs every little detail he can get. You know, I mean, he's very, very much a stickler on that. His photographic evidence. And actually, it's really helped us from a criminal standpoint a lot of times, because a photo he took may show something in the background that nobody even noticed at that time. You know, it really helps out.
And so. Later on, we are able to piece something else together. Something else that's helpful is when there is, we've used from his photographs, because he takes so many, bullet trajectory,
yes.
you know, and we've made diagrams and beautiful schematics for the jury to see. You know, this is where the body, Doc McKinley would come in and we put like even a skull with a dowel rod through it. He would drill the skull and put the dowel rod in and says, this is the way the bullet went. And he'd go on the stand and then we'd have a diagram and it would show where they were sitting and where it was recovered. And it was
yeah.
just really flashy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so I'll be buying you these plastic skulls and things. Hopefully someday you're going to be able to, you know.
Actually, I'm trying to remember the doctor.
Tell me.
I apologize.
I'll get you whatever you need. Actually, he told me what to
right,
get.
Right.
And I bought it. And
yeah.
then you, if you would be helpful, it'd be helpful to me if you can show, you know, went in this way, came out there.
Well, actually, now I don't know how they do it at all, autopsies, but one I went to on a homicide involving a shooting, the coroner's office at the time of autopsy actually did the same thing and inserted dowel rods into the various wounds, because the guy was shot like five times. And they put a dowel rod through and took pictures, then removed the dowel rods, opened the subject up, did their autopsy thing, and showed the bullet trajectory through the internal organs and things. And I mean, it was just amazing when he came down, and He was only in Montgomery County for about a year and then took a job in Clark County, which is Las Vegas, and went out there. But it was just amazing what they could show as far as there's no way this person could have been lying on the floor being beaten because the guy was shot straight on and then was shot straight down laying on the floor. I mean, they had it all down to a science, and it was great.
Yeah.
So, well, I will get this revised, and when do you want to get together and we'll sign off on this agreement or however you want to do it?
Do you want to do it in the next, can you do it in like the next 10 minutes?
Yeah, I can run over and make the changes and come right back if that's what you like.
You can. How about we do that? Quicker's better. That way it gets wrapped up, or we can, you know. If you want us to go that way, we'll go with you.
No, I can run over and run back. That's not a problem. I mean, it's but you guys, I don't want to put you out. I have to be at the office this afternoon for a while anyway, so I'll just run over. It's on my computer. It'll take a matter of just adding this in and printing out new copies, and I'll be back.
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
Your daughter was so good when I called the other phone, and she... While I was talking to you, I think it was, she was texting back to say, you know, if you can't get a hold of her on that number, call back and I'll find her.
Well, I had to change phones with her because she was breaking the bank on that. We didn't have unlimited data on that phone.
Oh,
that she had. On that number.
Yeah.
The one I originally had that I had to give her the one that I had with unlimited data, and I had to take her old number because of the contracts. And her daddy was hitting the ceiling every time he got the phone bill. It was like, ah! And so anyway, for a long time, she got a lot